from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Party Pod that covers the Tigers basketball program for the Daily Memphian. He's getting ready for quite the season. Nice enough to join us now. What's up, brother?
What's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
Yeah, man. So, how about it? There's a lot to get to. Got some scheduling news. Got some exhibition news. So let's just kind of take it. Alabama in an exhibition in October. Obviously, there will be options for more. But yep. Alabama is the favorite in the SEC. They were, you know, they were right there with they were in the Final Four, were they not?
They were in the Final Four.
Yeah.
They were in the Final Four. And Mark Sears is coming back. Grant Nelson's back. They added Chris Youngblood. That's a team that could win it all.
That's an absolutely loaded team. So the fact that Memphis identified Alabama and you know, scheduled this, obviously, on the road, what do you think that says about Penny Hardaway's approach to this year?
Man, it's like, it's kind of a cliche, and he said it before, but he wants all the smoke, you know? What other coach, given the circumstance, given the seat not hot, obviously, but getting slightly warmer, the pressure mounting, is going to go out and, you know, even in preseason, schedule a team like Alabama? You know, the results may not matter toward the, you know, larger body of work, but people are still going to talk. It's still going to drive a narrative, right? Like one way or the other.
I almost think he's almost forced in a position where you've got to, Parth, in a sense that this non-conference schedule is going to be so challenging. So prepare them in whatever way you can, in addition to getting them here as early as you can. But then also knowing, too, right, and you would know this better than anybody, you're not going to get much in terms of, you know, from that AAC schedule, what the committee would look at and value. There's just not going to be much there. And so it just feels like so much focus has got to be on being good early against a really tough non-conference schedule.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And we thought that last season was loaded, but obviously, you know, it didn't pan out. So it seemed like, you know, he kind of doubled down on that approach of swinging for the fences and getting teams like, obviously UConn was part of that Maui tournament, but Clemson on the road, Virginia on the road, just kind of loading it up in any way possible.
Yeah. You know, you hear, and I guess, like, that's the question, right? Like, we were just talking about it before we brought you on. What more do you need? You know, I have been a little skeptical. I've pulled four or five experts in the four or five, say, tournament. You know, Bart Torvik obviously loves them at 25. But there is a little bit of PTSD because it's basically constructed the same exact way. Players different, names different. Personality's different, but it's constructed in the same way that you're flipping the roster. So, Parth, I'm going to ask you, as somebody that's been around these guys, you know, have had some face-to-face with them, how can you guarantee both Jason and myself that that it is not going to go that way this year?
It's hard to guarantee much of anything after what we saw last year. I mean, they were ranked 10th in January, right, and didn't make the tournament, which is crazy. But I think you touched on it, the personality component. I think Penny and his staff have done, seems like, a good job from the outside looking in on really vetting these guys and talking about the culture and talking about defense and just kind of laying out the priorities and the non-negotiables during that recruitment process and this summer as well. Like, these guys were here for 8 weeks. The only player out of the 10 scholarship players they have that wasn't here throughout that duration was P.J. Carter, and that's because he committed in July, right? So the guys have been around each other. They've been spending time with each other, according to Penny, you know, off the court, doing stuff outside of basketball together. I think all of that matters. And I think the way these guys are wired, or the way they seem to be wired, in terms of an unselfishness, a defensive-first mentality, that kind of thing, that matters as well. But, you know, until we see it, it is all talk, yes.
I guess, you know, last year leadership was an issue, and who you were placing it with in terms mm-hmm. of, you know, whether Javon Quinterly was that. We know Caleb Mills was a leader, and when, you know, in terms of the way he sacrificed when that goes down, the example that, you know, it clearly hurt Memphis last year in terms of maybe not having – you know, Kendrick Davis, there's only so many of them that come around, but clearly there's a leadership there that helps you all the way through the season. In terms of candidates, right, and I'm not trying to pin it on one guy, but in terms of guys, and I know Penny has singled out Moussa as being one of those guys, just in terms of leaders, does it have to be Tyrese? Does it have to be a point guard? Do you see, I mean, in terms of what you've gathered, those kind of guys, who would you point the finger at?
Yeah, I don't think it has to be the point guard, but I think Tyrese is just a primary candidate for a lot of reasons. He's a guy who's played 3 years in the Big 12. You know, he's never come off the bench in his career. He's 106 career starts. He's 6-3 in the NCAA tournament. He's kind of been there, done that, you know, in terms of leadership and in terms of what he's produced on the court. So I think he'd be a kind of a natural guy to fill that role. Obviously, Moussa Cisse isn't going to be a starter, but is going to be a valuable piece off the bench. Is somebody who's played for Penny, is somebody who can kind of maybe have a better understanding than others of what Penny wants and needs out of this program. And then you've got Nicholas Jourdain as well, you know, who's coming back. Obviously not a not a pillar, not a top three offensive guy for you, but once again, a guy who understands what Penny wants and needs on a day-to-day basis.
I have probably been the most vocal skeptic, cynic maybe even is the right word, of P.J. Haggerty. Just nothing personal. But I'm just less convinced when it comes to, you know, putting up big numbers for a bad team in a bad league, that all of a sudden that means that you're going to be able to do that against the schedule that Memphis is going to play. With that being said, I will say I heard, I don't know, at some point over the summer that he was really shooting the ball well, and that maybe last year his percentages were truly due to the wrist injury, that there's real optimism that, you know, that's gone, he's recovered from that, and that it actually could take, you know, a pretty big step. Are you hearing the same things, and what are you hearing about PJ?
Yeah, I am. You know, that wrist injury wasn't really discussed. I don't think it was written about at all over there when he was in Tulsa, but, you know, he's talked about it briefly. His father's talked about it without harping on it. That was an issue, and that's why you saw kind of the three-point numbers improve throughout the end of last season, towards the tail end of that. I'd heard the same thing, that he was shooting the ball better. He talked about it on Saturday at that meet and greet at the FedEx St. Jude Championship about, you know, kind of how much healthier he felt overall, you know, his wrist, everything, and how that helped him kind of shoot the ball better. So I think, man, if he can – I think that's one of the biggest flaws in his game, right, the three-point shooting. If he can get that going, then it can really be scary.
How much does his usage rate change, though, Parth? I mean, obviously it's gonna drop a little bit, like you talked about. If there's a Tyrese, you know, Hunter on the floor, I'm just imagining PJ not having the ball as much as he did last year when he's getting to the free throw line as much as anybody in the country, and then having to adjust to that. Right? I figure he has to know that there's going to be a drop off in terms of usage, right?
Yeah, we asked them that because they both spoke. It was Tyrese Hunter, P.J. Haggerty, Dane Danger, and Colby Rogers that spoke on Saturday to media. And we asked them kind of what that looks like, the sharing of the point guard duties. Is it a sharing? Is it a one guy plays the one guy plays the two? And P.J. and Tyrese both kind of said that they've been splitting reps in practice, taking turns initiating the offense. One guy brings the ball up and the other does. But I think if Memphis is leaning toward one guy to run the point, it's going to be Tyrese Hunter, right? And then keeping PJ off the ball. But I think we'll see both kind of setting things up for the team, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so...
it does, because you don't want to take the ball out of his hands. I mean, that's how he was effective last year, John. You know what I'm saying?
PJ,
yes. I mean, right? You don't just give it to Tyrese, because PJ's so good with it. You wouldn't want to... just completely change.
Yeah, Parth, you're going to have to figure this out, brother.
No. It's like Parth said, it's going to be a combination of the two. It just won't be Tyrese all the time. It can't be, because PJ needs that ball.
Yeah.
And he just
does. I think that's how we see some of the best college basketball teams operate anyway, right?
That's right.
Whether it be, North Carolina with RJ Davis and Elliot Cadeau or whoever, usually you got two guys who can effectively run point.
Now, I don't know why, in the name of God, you would possibly bring up North Carolina as an example. I mean, seriously. I mean, there are so many backcourts, and you bring up the dude who they leave open for miles in Cadeau.
Man.
I mean,
it's just the first one that came to mind, man.
Yeah, I know. We got to retrain you, man. All right, Cadeau is a bum.
Oh,
he's a bum. I cannot believe you would do this today. I mean, you are Tar Heel, but
he finally broke that slump, didn't he?
I don't think so. They left that man open.
No, he couldn't hit one. Didn't buy one, but I thought he broke it.
15 miles, bro. Nautical.
Still a good leader.
Nautical miles.
Nautical miles is crazy.
I think you bring up a good point that. Yeah. Underlying, that example around the country, I don't think Cadeau and Davis is who I would think of, but there is a theme of sacrifice. There is a theme of, leaders, veterans that understand, there's multiple guys on this team that need the ball. And, think about all the talent that UConn had. I know that there's standard, but if those guys weren't all locked in together, you could see that going south. And that is the key that, Penny's going to have to foster. And I don't know. I mean, maybe this team has that. Maybe they can find that.
Yeah, maybe. And I think the interesting thing is, although, out of the 10 scholarship guys, only Nicholas Jourdain was part of last season's debacle. Even the guys that weren't there, like Kobe Rogers, for example, he talked to us about the lessons from last year have been a theme this offseason. Yes, they weren't a part of that. They weren't responsible for that. But the staff has talked about, hey, this is what went wrong last year in the same experiment. When we built a whole new roster, brought brand new guys in, and this is what we can learn from that. And Kobe talked about he wants fans to know that, hey, we're not a selfish team. We're not trying to take bad shots. We want to play together and for each other. I know it's all talk until we see it in action, but it sounds like those guys have really are looking at what happened last year and making sure it doesn't happen again.
We still expecting Kobe Rogers to start. Are you, Parth?
I am. I think he starts at the three. I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought his comments were really interesting, that even he noticed that there were rips. I saw him say, were you surprised to hear him say that like even he noticed it as an opposing player?
A little bit, just to hear him say it so candidly, right? Like, hey, like there were problems last year.
It was getting out. Yeah, it was getting around the AC.
Right, and so somebody kind of asked him. Another reporter asked him, like, hey, like, was it obvious to you as well? And he's like, man, I played them three times. Like he could see it. Just
and he should and he should be and he should have been 2-1 against them.
Should have been. Yeah, no doubt.
That's definitely I saw that. I'm like, damn, bro, like it really. And I guess we'll never know exactly, where it started or why it started. But maybe in time, I mean, we have our suspicions. I know, Parth, our educated guesses, but we're never going to find that out. What? Why do we think Jordan Brown was as bad as he was? I mean, while I'm thinking about it, like, because he was a guy who I thought might be the leading scorer.
You said leading scorer.
Like, I mean, genuinely, like, the last time I saw him, he was putting up 17-6 against Tennessee in the NCAA tournament, right?
Yes.
I mean, like, normally you don't see accidents like that, Like, so what do we attribute it? Do we attribute it to just a difference of style and it didn't work? Like, what went into that?
I think a little bit of everything, right? Difference in style, that didn't fit. Obviously, there were... people were saying that he came to campus a little bit out of shape, wasn't, hadn't really done much of the basketball when he got there in the summer, and that affected him certainly. And then just the kind of chaos around him, I'm sure that wasn't conducive to success. So, if you kind of clean all that up, you're hoping you can get the best out of guys like Kobe Rogers and guys like P.J. Haggerty and others this season.
No, you got fine taste, Parth. Where are you staying in Maui?
Haven't booked it yet. But just got my travel approved last week, so I'm very excited to be going to Maui. and Vegas and San Francisco. Man, it's a hell of a non-conference schedule.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the traveling, going out west and then Maui, brother, I don't think you could beat it in terms of putting a schedule together and actually going to some nice places. You get the Bay and San Francisco, like you said. My gosh, lucky man.
Man, I'm pumped. I'm pumped.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
We were talking about this yesterday. Like, if you're a Memphis fan, like, you should take advantage and get your ass down there, man. It's just a good excuse, you know.
Especially with a free swing against the national champs.
A free swing.
No doubt.
This is going to sound crazy, but UConn is the preseason favorite to win the national championship. They're not going to do it. They're not nearly as good. Like, I am shorting UConn as it relates to them being a title team again.
But didn't we say that last year? We said that last offseason. No, they're not as good. And then they ran it right back.
I mean, we might have said it last year. I mean, we probably did, but they still returned so much of their team, right? They still brought back Klingon.
You knew what Klingon was going to be
And they still brought back Newton, and they added Castle. Like, yeah, like, we thought there might be a little bit of a drop-off, but I think the drop-off eventually will be right, right? Like, we're like the economists who are saying, recession, recession! Eventually they'll be right. So I'm just going to keep saying that UConn's going to... So I think that this is the year you want to play them, because they don't have that rim protector in Klingon, who was just a game changer in college basketball. And you're not playing Iowa State. That's the best news of the whole thing to me.
No, and you're right. Like, look, even if they aren't that good, November 25th, that first game of Maui, they'll still be ranked high enough to where if you beat them, if you're Memphis and you beat them, you're going to skyrocket, right, in the polls. You're going to be ranked. So it's a win-win for Memphis, I think.
Yeah. Hey, Parth, man, great stuff as always.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate the time. We'll keep reading you at the Daily Memphian. Thanks, brother.
Hey, man, appreciate y'all.
Yep.
Thank you.
He is Parth Upadhyay from the Daily Memphian, covers the Memphis Tiger basketball program. So, yeah, you know, again, it's a hell of a schedule, and I think there probably could be one more exhibition on the way. We'll see. But Penny's seeking it out. You know, seeking it out.
Well, and he's even done away with bye games for what it feels like. Like, all those, I don't see any on the schedule.
Well, that's because you're looking at the Memphis football schedule.
Well, I don't know why I look back there, but there aren't any.
That's classic.
There's only one more. There's only one more game to be announced on that non-conference schedule.
That's good. That's right. We don't know what it is, though, do we? That's probably going to be a bye game.
At one point, there was thought it was going to be three bye games, but clearly it's not. If there's going to be any bye games, it'll be one.
I think,
and I don't think this one's necessarily who you think. It's not
right.
Alabama State type stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know that they got any on that schedule because they don't think they can.
That's right. You can't afford it. Because you have all the bye games are in your league.
Yeah, and you got to put butts in seats.
They have to like pay Tulsa now. Like, I think they pay Tulsa to come play here.
Matt, you
at this point?
I guess at this point, the conference would appreciate it.
Yeah, I think you look back at that Memphis schedule.
I can envision
inspiration.
The dates.
Yeah,
I can envision.
That's
the
what
dates.
It is. It moves you.
Yeah,
it transports you
mm-hmm.
to a happy place, man. That's when you need some motivation. You turn back. You look at that time to pound.
No, we just I'm gonna have to get as soon as it's finished. I'm gonna have to get a Memphis basketball schedule up here.
There's no doubt because that's becoming like your new. You know, your thing, you know, so we just have to make sure we print that out as well.
Please do.
Let's not make it just a Memphis football wall. It's a Memphis Tiger sports wall. And we need to get a Grizzlies schedule here, too. Let's get one right here. Let's get all of it, you know, and I'm going to put my stars on there.
I'm going to circle the opener.
Four. No, how many stars is possible? I'm going to try to get as many as I can in that square for the
five. Top is list. Make it a 5-star.
I want to go more than 10. I want to make it big. 10, 12, 15.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do a constellation, an entire galaxy, because that's what I would have for the Orlando Magic. Anyway, thanks to Parth for joining us on the show today. We'll come back, wrap this up on a Tuesday. Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN. Live Love Group and the Real Estate Agency. If you're moving and you want to sell your home, they're the only team I'd call. They're awesome to work with, and they get results. They're going to help you get the most money for your home. They have that network of buyers. They've been doing this for a long time. They're expanding. That's because they're great at what they do. If you're a first-time home buyer, they're also perfect because they're going to take you through the situation. They've seen it all. Seen it, done it, been there, got the T-shirt. That's the Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency. Reach out, so to livelovememphis.com.
901-625-5200 is how you get a hold of Jennifer Carson's and her fantastic team. Got a bunch of great people, including April Darnell. She's wonderful as well. Jennifer has built an unbelievable team of folks that can help you here, and it's really their mission. It's their way of improving Memphis. John talked about it. First-time home buyer, she's seeking you out because she wants to get folks out of renting situations into home ownership situations. That's how you improve this area, this city. That's her part. That's her part in making Memphis a better place. So it's a bigger mission. 625-5200. Going to get you the most money for your home. Help you find your dream home as well if you'd like to do that too. So they can handle all sides. So Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESP. And thanks to Parth for joining us from the Daily Memphian. Always nice to talk a little Memphis basketball. Still, you know, obviously quite a few ways away, and you know, I am always reminded anytime I talk about Memphis football in August that it is football season. So yes, we are definitely looking forward to the football season as well. But again, critical for everybody involved over there. High leverage seasons for both Ryan Silverfield and for Penny Hardaway. And make no mistake that the criticism will be the same for each if they do not deliver this year. Now, it looks a little different for each in terms of the final goal, but I mean, it's really not. I mean, both should win their conference. And if one does not win their conference, it will be considered a failure given the circumstances. You know, I think for Memphis football, it's more about, you know, their team and what they're bringing back, which is a four-year starter, which nobody else in America is doing, and also a bad league. And for Memphis, it's more about maybe the bad league than anything else. But, you know, the edict is still the same, which is if you can't win your conference now, then when will you ever be able to do it?
Right. And that's why Gabe and I had this conversation on Friday on his show, and he's pointing out how Paul Feinbaum has apologized for at one point believing that Ryan Silverfield wasn't the man for the job, and he sort of, you know, brought it to me, a guy who had obviously been critical. John, you've been critical at times when you needed to be, but you certainly weren't on the side of, you know, me, Giannotto. There was serious doubt about whether Ryan Silverfield would do it, and Gabe sort of asking, hey, you apologize too? I've made the point, Ryan Silverfield shut me up. But back to what you said, because he hasn't won an American title, right, because there's not that equity build up, if he doesn't win it this year, that's going to be cool. When are you ever going to do it? And so all those doubts, right, about whether Ryan Silverfield is the right guy for the job, they'll be right back this year. And that's the fine line he walks. It's a fine line for both Memphis basketball and Memphis football. But for Memphis football in particular, we've talked about how great a job he's done to put it in this position. He could lose a ton of that buy-in, a ton of that excitement and everything else. Could be right back to folks like me doubting him. And it won't be, I won't be happy to do that. I made that clear to him. It won't be a, ooh, I told y'all so. It'll be, unfortunately, it'll be a, shoot, we were right.
Mm.
He ain't never going to get over the hump. He's never going to win the American. Because if you can't do it with Seth Hennigan as a four-year starter in the year where you've been picked the preseason favorite, UTSA's trying to replace its quarterback, Tulane's trying to replace its coach, when are you ever going to do it? So as much as he gained with 10 wins and winning the Liberty Bowl, he could lose it all right back. Now, the difference is he got his contract extension. But I would tell you, as a fan, that's almost worse, because now it's like, oh, is this the guy or not? He's got more years, and you're going to have to spend more if you decide he's not the guy. So all of, that's what I'm saying, how critical this is. A lot to be gained, huge opportunity. Credit to Ryan Silver for getting back. But I ain't apologizing because he could still prove to not be the right guy.
Yeah. That is 100% fair, you know.
He has shut me up.
Yeah,
and again, very happy to do so, but the apologizing part, Ryan could still prove he's not the guy if they don't go win it this year.
Yes,
because that's where I'll be back to.
Yes,
I don't want to go back there. He's going to win it. Period. So I tell you, I have the ultimate faith. Memphis is going to run away with this thing in the AAC.
Right.
Now, whether they make the college football playoff, that's a whole other thing. Win the AAC. That is the goal. That is the job this year.
Yes.
Period.
Exactly. And again, it's interesting. I don't know if it doesn't happen, what would happen. And you know, probably nothing.
Well, if it doesn't happen, none's going to happen because he's added, what, tacked on 3 more years? Whatever. Remember, we had the extra years at 4 more years? We talked about it. We looked at the buy and everything else. What he's going to have is a highly rated quarterback coming in, and we're going to say, okay, and he's going to talk us into how this is going to be the guy, but it's going to be trying to make us believe as opposed to these years where you've had that chance and haven't been able to do it. That is a conversation we're not going to have. That's a conversation I'm hoping not to have. But it's absolutely one that could happen if he doesn't, John, win the AAC.
Yeah, exactly.
Be trying to talk ourselves into it again.
So yeah, that's what you're up against this year. And make it easy for everybody. Just win it. You know what I mean?
As you should.
Both coaches.
As you've set this thing up to do.
Both coaches.
That's credit to you.
So, anyway, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Parthi Padhyay from the Daily Memphian for joining us. Thanks to Jessica Benson as well. Jeffrey and Company up next. Kevin Cerrito in for the next couple weeks. Don't miss it. Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.